Okay, another question here. I have a tendency to turn cold toward my kids when they are crying. They seem to be a little hurt, but not enough to justify that amount of crying. I am ashamed to say it, but it kind of repulses me. It's gotten so bad that I don't even like it when they complain about having cold fingers when we're out for a bike ride. I want to show sympathy or empathy, rather, but I don't feel it at all. I was raised that being tough was really cool, and my kids seem to be whiners to me. It makes me sad and makes them sad, and it's not helping our relationship, but I don't know how to change. Should I fake it until I make it? Now, we actually talked about this the other day on the phone, because you're actually coming to the couples retreat, and I was doing one of the pre-interviews for the couples retreat, and so I already talked about this, but I'm just going to review for the sake of the call. I decided to read it anyway on the call, even though we had already discussed it, just because I think there might be other parents who feel the same way. And so, anyway,
Okay.
so you're ready. Okay, good. So the first thing is, being strong is not bad, and we talked about that, didn't we? How if you actually are able to be strong, there's a lot of help. I mean, that's going to help you in your life a lot, right? Because hard things are going to happen, and our children are raised in some pretty hard times, and so being strong is not necessarily a bad thing. I did notice in this question, different from when we talked about it yesterday, that you wrote being strong was cool. Definitely was cool. You were raised in like the feminist era, the era where girls were supposed to be strong, right? Where everyone was supposed to be strong. And actually, what we did a lot of the time, we took some of the strength away from some of the guys and some of the boys being raised without us,
Emasculate.
being raised with just one strong mom and no strong dad, are now not strong men, you know, not strong boys. And so, there's some things about that. The other thing is what strong really is. You know, what does strong look like? Does strong look like I don't care, indifference? Not really. That's actually a bad representation of strong. So strong is actually a place, you know, where you can choose to be okay, but it's where you see yourself in a situation, as being able to cope with it, being able to problem solve it, being able to be confident. So strong is actually more of a confidence. It isn't a show. I think a lot of people that think they're strong really aren't strong. They are probably still faking it. But that said, it is helpful in life, and you don't want to have a child who, or you know, who is every little thing is going to create a major meltdown for them. I mean, that's going to be a hard time, right? It's going to be a hard life. But you do need to be loving. What I would do is I would describe what is happening. So, you know, right now we're on a bike ride and your hands are very cold, and I know that that hurts and that that doesn't feel very good. And then I would offer suggestions. I would say, so we probably should put our sleeves down over our hands, or we should, let's take a minute and blow on them, you know. Here, I'll blow on them for you for a minute. Let's put them in our pocket. Be willing to serve them a little bit to help things be solved, because that shows that you care, even if you're going, I don't know why this is an issue right now, but okay, I'll help you with it just a little bit. Offer some suggestions, because that speaks love to them. And then the most important thing is think empathy. So you think, okay, I'm going to show them that I understand, which is really just that describe what's happening. That's the part where you show them you understand. I know that this is, you know, you're cold right now and this isn't very fun. And then you say, but this is what we need to do. And then just give them an instruction. This is, I need you to start riding your bike toward home. We're just going to get home as quick as we can. And I need you to stop talking about this problem. And you just give them an instruction. Okay? If they can't do, and you might have to remind them, this is an instruction. If they can't do the instruction, you might have to correct them. But chances are, honestly, 9 times out of 10, if you think empathy, you think, I'm going to understand them, and then I'm going to give them a very deliberate instruction. Chances are, 9 times out of 10, that's going to be good enough.
Okay.
And they will head for home, and you can praise them for being able to just follow the instruction, even when they weren't comfortable, but that they were able to get home, and, or whatever the case happens to be, they were able to make it through with sticky fingers until you got to the next, you know, restroom, or they were able to make it, like, wait until you were able to find the next restroom on the road trip. You know, I mean, there's things,
yeah.
There's little things that are going to be always these little annoyances that creep in and create whining. Just describe, and then...
Okay.
Describe with love. Describe with love. Even if you're feeling like, I don't know why this is bugging you, be strong. And occasionally I will say to my children when they're really having a hard time, I'll look at them and very deliberately just say, and with love, say, be strong. You can do this. Because they need
okay.
that confidence. They don't need to be torn down. Anyway, good question.
Okay. And
did you
want
to add anything else to it? Okay.
Yes, please. If there's an incident such as like somebody, they're like playing rough, they're roughhousing, and somebody gets like bumped on the head or something, and that could be a real hurt, you know, I
yeah.
understand,
yeah.
you know, that can really hurt, but
yeah.
a lot of times they'll come in just wailing, and then they get in there and they just get real quiet and like, you know, fold their hands in front of them and just, you know, sit with their chin down against their chest and kind of look up at me. And so, like, I know they can control the big screaming that they did just down the hallway.
Uh huh.
But they don't choose to do it until they get to me because I'm like, well, you know, you're okay.
yeah,
you know, why
yeah.
did you react that way? And so... So what should I do then? Because I there was a point when I was handing out extra chores for screaming too loud and, you know, basically crying wolf. But
okay. Well, when a person really gets hurt, like if I slammed my fingers in
right.
a car door, I would cry, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I, like, there's things that could happen that are for real. And if they need to have a little cry and you give them some consolation and some snuggle, there is nothing wrong with that if a person is really hurting. Sometimes it's hard for us to determine what really is hurting and what is really not hurting and what is just disappointing and them learning how to handle disappointment and
mm-hmm.
and that's a skill, you know, it takes practice and you know, so I don't know if we want to read all of our own ways of handling a problem into every teeny
mm-hmm.
instance that happens, but probably what I would do is a very similar thing as like if you're outside with cold fingers is I would probably just say, you know, I know that that really hurt you or that really disappointed you, but I need to give you an instruction right now or I'm going to give you an instruction right now. You need to take some deep breaths and get calm, okay? And at that moment, I mean, you're just helping them say, and then we're going to talk about it. But then if you know they can do that, the one little cry that happened right then might not be worth a chore. Does that make sense? Because it's like...
Sure, but okay, so...
maybe I'm not understanding, because if they're really hurt, you know...
Right, and if they are really hurt, then I try to, you know, give them my empathy and just, you know, be loving and comforting
mm-hmm.
and everything, but like, especially one of them will scream bloody murder, just like you could swear she just had her hand cut off,
oh.
and then come in, you know, and stop when she gets to me.
Okay.
To
do you ever practice doing it the right way, like where she doesn't scream? Like, do you go back, have almost the same situation happen again, and have her practice not screaming?
No, I've never done that.
You should.
Okay.
Because she needs to have practice doing it the right way. And
yeah.
then after you've practiced that a number of times, make a little game out of it, whatever, then say,
mm-hmm.
okay, so now we know that no matter what happens, if it's a surprise or we don't like it, we don't have to be screaming. We can just come, put our hand on Mom's arm and say, Mom, can I talk to you?
Right. Oh, good. I like that. Okay.
Okay.
Wonderful. Okay.
So
thank you so much.
What she really needs is a connection.
Another idea, if
yeah?
I may. So I have a daughter that does this as well, and I discuss with her the story about crying wolf. This mom brought that up, comment
right.
on the crying wolf principle, and so I talk with her and I remind her about that story that I let her know I want to be here for you when you're hurt, but when you scream bloody murder, I start second guessing whether you really are hurt or not, and then if you are really hurt, I don't know whether to come looking for you to help or not. So this could be a safety concern for you, and it would be in your best interest to stay calm when it's appropriate to be calm and to holler when it's appropriate to holler, because if you send me the message, mixed messages all the time, I don't know when it's really an emergency. And
yeah.
Help her understand.
Yeah, and I've shared that story with
her. And then I tell
too,
her,
and,
now you
yeah.
need to take a deep breath and get calm.
I actually think that's really good. And that is a bit of logic that it's very helpful, right? So that's one of those little bits where you say, you know, actually, let me just explain how it really works in people's minds. They start, you know, tuning you out if you're always doing that same thing, or start feeling like you're always seeking attention when sometime you really could have a problem. So that little story, you know, great little Aesop or whoever came up with that story, that little story does give a reason why people should do that. So if you've already talked about that, that's great. But I would really also do some practicing, you know, of doing it the right way, and teach her exactly how she should come and find you and what your reaction will be every time. You know, maybe she's not sure you will respond quickly enough, or maybe she has anxiety about that, or maybe she just really loves drama. But anyway...
I think it's probably more that you just mentioned, that she's not sure of what my reaction would be, because I've almost always been like, you know, God, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, okay.
So
actually you have to serve your children and in those moments. That is the number one thing that happens in families to make it so that they're not united, is this selfishness, this, you know, I'm looking out for what my needs are instead of going, oh, I love these people so that I will serve them. That some people call it the servant's heart, you know. It's ideal if every person in a family has a servant's heart, because if every person in a family has a servant's heart, then one person is not going to go and disconnect and not do anything for anybody else. Everyone will be, oh, you need something? Sure, I'll help. Oh, yeah, you need something? Sure, I'll help. Oh, Mom, you need me to set the table? Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, like, everybody's fine with it because everybody's looking at the family relationship as something they have to all support together, if that makes sense.
Right,
so,
I love it.
Yeah, so, and it might be worth it to talk to the family about that. We actually had a problem with that at one point, and I think I mentioned this in the book with our bean jar game. I think I mentioned that our family... I realized that people would ask somebody to do something. Like, they'd be totally nice and say, hey, could you get me a cup out of the cupboard, because they're short? And someone would be like, no, you can get it yourself. I'm like, what? I mean, that's just like, what does that do to the feeling in the home, you know? If somebody asks for help, we should help. Even the parents need to be. And I know we think we're doing everything all the time, and we are busy, but we have to make sure that we don't start getting selfish about our time, too. We have to be there and have the servant's heart too. So
okay. Well, anyway, thank you so much.
Super great question. Yeah, you're welcome.